Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. Welcome if you're a new listener. So excited to be back this week. I feel like, again, July is completely flying by. We're already in the middle of the month. And I feel know, like it's like so every time you blink, it's like the month passes.
It's so crazy. I was just thinking about that because I, in my journal, because I do a new journal every year, I just have not written that much, and I'm like, wow, it's July and I'm not even halfway through my journal. But I can't believe that it's July. Like, yeah, we're flying through.
So crazy. But honestly, I feel like it's nice because it's kind of like a slow summer. I feel like I don't have any crazy plans until our girls trip in September,
and that's sneaking up. Like, that is not that far away.
So we have like prep to do for that, but I'm like excited because I'm just gonna like honestly be home and relax and just be so rested before that trip. So I'm really excited for that. But yeah, so this week's episode, we wanted to just talk about an IG audit, and like what that looks like, how it helps, what you can do to kind of help your profile, and just things to review and what we kind of do. So that's this week's topic. But before we dive in, we just do some updates in our influences of the week. So I feel like I don't think you have any updates, so I'll just give my quick little update. I did go to my high school reunion, you guys.
Love that.
So proud of myself because I had so much anxiety going into it just because of like the unknown, and you haven't seen these people in so long. But honestly, it was totally fine. It was so funny. I posted my story on Instagram of Arizona, and a couple of you guys like were like, oh my god, the high school reunion is happening. And I was like, okay, yes, like my supportive queens. So
yes,
it was so good. I connected with one of my girlfriends from high school, and we ended up planning to arrive at the same time so we could walk through the door together. So that was really nice, just not having to walk in by yourself, because you're just like, you don't know who's gonna be there. And I don't know, it ended up being totally fine. Like, just chatted with everyone, and you just kind of like, oh, what have you been up to for the past 10 years, like what have you been doing, and just like people's jobs, and like people have bought houses, some people have gotten married, some people have some kids. So it's kind of crazy just to see where everyone's at, because I feel like 10 years is such a long time, and like so much can happen in 10 years. But yeah, and then obviously I had anxiety because my high school ex was gonna be there, but I feel like that went totally fine. Like, we chatted a little bit, caught up, and just kind of talked about where we are in life and like how our families are doing, because obviously we got so close with each other's families because we dated for like 6.5 years. So just like caught up with that, and it was good. I feel like I got just like the general closure that I was looking for, just like not anything about our relationship specifically, but just like, you know, hey, how's it going? We can be, you know, civil adults. I'm literally married and he's getting married in the fall. So it's like,
yeah,
we can like check, like we were such a big part of each other's lives growing up. Like, you can like check in as an adult and just, you know, see how each other's doing. So that went really well. And then I didn't end up talking to the mean girl, I guess we'll just call her. I didn't end up talking to her because I just felt like I was just not in a place where I'm just gonna like fake be nice, you know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, I realized I'm just like, she's not a girl's girl, and I'm not here for that. And like, if she was open to just apologizing for what she did, and I get it, it was like so long ago, but still, I feel like that's just so shitty. And it's like, if you can just own your shit and like be a mature adult and just be like, hey girl, I'm so sorry I did that to you. Like, that was so messed up of me. Like, I can't believe I did that in college. Like, so uncool. I'm so sorry. Like, I'd be like, great, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate that. But like, if you can't even own up to your stuff and you just like pretend it didn't happen, or like pretend you like me or care about my life, like I feel like I'm just so not down for that. So I just felt, in order to protect my peace, it would just be better to just not talk.
Yeah.
And I felt good about that decision. I would
not either.
So it was fine. Like, there was like a decent amount of people. I would say like 20-ish people. So there was enough people to kind of avoid her. And I feel like it wasn't really that awkward, because like, we really honestly weren't interested in talking to each other. So it was mutual. So I was like, okay, great. So yeah, it went really well, and I'm glad I did it, because love now that. I can say I went to my 10-year high school reunion. Like, I can tell my kids I went, and like, I'm proud of myself because I did something that was like, that was scary. That
yeah, you should be proud of yourself.
I put myself out there and I did it. So I was like, oh, okay, I did it. I feel so good. So, and it was like, we were there from about 7:30-ish to midnight. So it was almost 5 hours. So I feel like that was so good to just kind of reconnect with everyone. You kind of bond over your similar high school trauma experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you get to like reflect on how everyone's experience was and how people have grown and learned since then. So overall, it was good. Glad I went, glad I did it. And I feel like if you're in that mental space or you're thinking about going to your high school reunion, like if you feel it's right, do it. Like I feel like don't mm-hmm. not go because you're scared if that's the only reason you're not going. You know what yeah. I mean? So yeah. That was good. And I drove out to Arizona Friday night and then I just got back. So I'm exhausted. So if this episode's a little delulu, that's why. But yeah, love so that's that. Like, that's my high school reunion update. Thank you guys for the support, for the moral support in the DMs. It was so helpful. I absolutely needed it. I told my sister, I was like, you might have to free your schedule because I might need you to stay on the phone with me until I physically get there because I'm
that is
so nervous.
That's honestly so great that you did that, truly. I feel like yeah. that is such a scary thing. So you should be proud of yourself.
It's just like, it's just so weird. And it's like people change so much. And I feel like what we do specifically is kind of hard for people to understand or they don't really get it. True. So then it's like you have to explain that. I feel like I just said like, oh yeah, I'm in social media, and then if they yeah. asked more questions I would tell them, but if they didn't I wasn't gonna go any deeper than that because
yeah,
people can think what they want. So yeah, it was good and I'm proud of myself, so that's what matters. And my therapist good. Will be proud of me too, so.
Oh yeah, she definitely will be.
Love that. Okay, what is your current influence this week?
My influence is also a life update. surprise guys, I eat meat now, and that is a really crazy thing because I have not eaten meat for the past 10 years. I've been vegetarian/vegan. So yeah, that's really crazy. A huge change, but I've been loving it so far. I'm kind of just like testing out what it feels like on my body this week yeah. and just feeling it out. But long story short, I went to Italy, obviously. And then when I was never bloated in Italy at all. And then I came back, I was literally chronically bloated, I feel like, after every single thing that I would make or eat. But the majority of the stuff that I eat is like 95% vegetables, honestly. And I'm realizing that just my body is not processing these things anymore the same way that I used to be able to. I feel like as you get older, your body changes. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think I'm heavily overdoing it. And my body is screaming, saying that, especially after the break that I had from like so much vegetables in Italy. So yeah, that kind of inspired me. And then my nutritionist/dietitian also inspired me to try it out. For some reason, I thought like if you haven't eaten meat for 10 years, if you like suddenly started eating meat, like something would happen. But she was like, I'm glad I talked to her about it, because she's like, yeah. no, like literally nothing like that. Like nothing will happen. You'll just, it, nothing happens. Yeah. Like you should just do it. And I was like, okay. So yeah, I'm seeing how different I feel, but so far I absolutely have not been as bloated as I have been in the past week. So that's been great. So it's been an exciting change. It's like really yeah, crazy for me exciting. To say and do, but.
Wait, did you say what meat you're eating?
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't. So I've only tried chicken. I want to try turkey this week, but that's yum. All I really like. And I don't think plus, I see like, myself fish, eating steak.
Your fish adventures
too. Yes, and
so
fish.
Now you have your fish, love fish and your chicken.
Have my fish, have my chicken, maybe some turkey. I'm like, wow, it would be like so cute to have like a turkey sandwich for lunch. Like I used to love that. I miss it.
Oh my
it.
Gosh, Mendocino's
oh yeah
turkey sandwich is so good.
I'm just like I just feel like a new door has opened in my life, and I'm just like, oh my God, there's so much and here.
The Mendocino Caesar, if you add chicken onto it, their chicken is really good too.
Okay, yay. Like, I'm just, okay, like, yeah, so excited.
Their chicken and their turkey's really good.
I feel like it's just given me this, like, new excitement in my life. Like, I just, I'm, yeah, like, excited to cook. That's one of the biggest things, too. I'm so excited to cook with Josh now and, like, to be able to cook you with him can, and like, for eat him.
The same dinner now.
Yeah, like, we would be making fully separate things. And it's just, like, kind of sad doing that. Like, I just, like, I want to, like, cook for him, but I don't eat meat, so, well, I didn't, so now we can do that together, and I'm really excited for that.
Love
that. So yeah, I'm just like, I'm excited. I feel like it's been like, I don't know, it made life exciting a little bit.
I feel so. Like too, I've been noticing a lot of people talking, like podcasts and like medical professionals going on podcasts that I listen to as guests, talking about high protein diets for females and like female health and just like hormone regulation and stress regulation and just literally everything in our body. It's like so hard to keep everything balanced. I feel like I'm learning.
Yes.
And it's like a very normal, common thing that it's hard to be balanced. And so I feel like so many people have been talking about high protein diets lately. And I feel like I've also just randomly seen a lot of people post on social media about it too. And I'm also doing that because I used to, I don't know. I just like, I feel like sometimes I'm just not hungry. So I would only eat two meals a day because I just wasn't hungry in the morning for breakfast. And then when I started talking to my nutritionist, she was like, that's a sign of high cortisol. And I was like, okay, ? Had no idea. So now I eat three meals a day and I try to hit a certain amount of protein, like estimate amount of protein. And so that's definitely been interesting too. But I feel like, I don't know, it's like a very relevant topic right now.
No, I was like telling my sister this too. Like, it's crazy. Like, I feel like vegan and vegetarian, not that like this stuff is a trend, but like kind of like kind, that yeah, used, that was like very, very trendy. And like everyone was
Andrew
doing it.
Andrew used to be vegan for fun though. Like he just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like when we first met, he didn't
eat. He was vegan?
Meat.
Oh my God, interesting.
And so.
Yeah, like I feel like it was a thing.
I like slowly would introduce him. Like I would cook salmon and then he would have salmon and then like we would do steak. Cause like I remember when we first started dating, he would cook a vegan meal or whatever with no protein, like no meat in it. And like I would go over to his place and like he would cook the dinner and it would have like either tofu or. Is it chimichurri?
So
no, what's the word? It's like this like Mexican.
Wait. I
like
feel
not meat, but like kind of like feels like a meat sauce. Why can't
like
I
soy
not?
Rizo?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. True.
Okay. Yeah. So like he probably had the soy Rizo. Yeah.
Yes. So he would eat that. And then after our date, like I would straight up go to In-N-Out after and get a burger
screaming.
Or I would go to Taco Bell and get tacos and eat meat after our date because I eat meat. So it's just like,
I love that.
So funny. But he was just doing it because he thought it was the trend, I think.
I'm screaming. Yeah. But like now I feel like people are eating meat. People are actually animal based and carnivores. Like that's like the new trend right now, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But it just happened to, like, I think I've just, like, woke up a little bit to, like, being in tune with my body. And my body was like, we need to, like, move on from this. It's time.
Yeah.
But I am noticing that shift, too.
That's good. Well, yay.
Yeah. So, I know. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to, like... I don't know. It just feels very new and fresh and fun. So yeah, that's
Love my influence
of the week / update. What is your influence of the week?
My influence of the week, I usually will look at my purchase history from the past week and see what's going on. And I feel like I did a huge Amazon purchase of a bunch of home decor. Once I'm like almost done with everything, I'm so excited. I'm gonna like start
That's
posting
so
everything, and I just And like, okay, first of all, Amazon is so quick. Like, it's so nice. Like, some things you order and you can get same day.
Yeah.
Or you get it the next day in like the delivery window where it's like 4 to 8 a.m. and you're like, hello, like, I'm so good with 7 to 11. Like, we do not need a 4 to 8.
I know.
Like, that is unnecessary. But, and then obviously a lot of it comes in 2 days with Prime. So whenever I just have an idea or I get inspo or I save a pic from Pinterest or on Instagram of someone's home, I can go to Amazon and order it immediately and just like have it so soon. And I'm so excited. Like I ordered the Tom Ford coffee table book. It's like the big black
cute.
One. And it looks so cute. And just a bunch of vases, like travertine, like I don't even know, like little trays, candlestick holders. Is that a candelabra? What's a candelabra?
Wait, what? I've never heard of that.
Oh my gosh, wait. Okay,
candelabra?
A candelabra. But like candlestick holders. Okay, candle.
Wait, I feel like maybe I have an idea of what.
Am I? Okay, I was right. Okay, a candelabra is like the, like, it's like where it holds multiple candlesticks.
Okay. Okay. Here. I feel like that was what I was envisioning. Like oh, situation. Cute. It's like a... Okay, yeah. I don't know what I would
piece, basically. Yeah. I don't know so how that word came to my head just now. But yeah, just... I'm trying to look. And I have like so many candles I've collected over the years. And I don't use my pretty candles because they're decor and I don't want them to ever run out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now I have places to put them and I'm so excited. So I feel like I just did a crazy kind of Amazon order. And then also side note, I ordered I think it's a pot or a vase. It's kind of like a really big vase, so maybe it's more pot like from that Olive Atelier place.
Oh cute.
So that came in and I'm really excited about it. So I'm just waiting for my faux florals to come in to put into my little pots and vases. And then
where'd you order those?
A Facebook ad got me because every time I opened Facebook, which I'm only on Facebook because I'm in these groups because I'm trying to educate myself. I think we've talked about this. I'm in like Hermes groups on Facebook so I can
learn
the situation.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I get ads and one of the ads was faux flowers. And I tried to even go on Amazon to find the same exact ones or compare them and like see which looked more real. And I couldn't find anything on Amazon that looked like these. So the ad got me. I just pulled the trigger. I was like, I really hope this website is legit. Otherwise, I just lost my money. But I think they're getting delivered tomorrow. So I'm really excited. And I don't remember. I don't know how you say it, but I think it's like Contempe or something like that. It's like Contempee, I think. Some random brand. But they have really good aesthetic ads and content, and they have an Instagram page, and I read all the comments.
Cute.
And no one was leaving comments like, oh, I never got my order, like, please check your you know what I mean, those comments.
Yeah.
On brand websites where if it's kind of sketchy, people will comment and be like, so I mean, either the brand deleted all of those comments and hid them, or
it's probably
it's legit
fine.
And I'm gonna get my faux flowers tomorrow.
Okay, I'm invested because every single time I've tried to order fake flowers, like from Amazon, they're so cheesy looking and like it does not look
the
good.
The photos on Amazon were not good. So I was like, ugh. And I tried to even look at photos from user reviews too. And I've just been deep diving and none of them were doing it. So I have really high hopes for this. So we'll see. I did just, I think it was like cream colored pompas.
Cute.
Bags, so cute.
Yeah.
And then a like beige color, is that eucalyptus, right? Eucalyptus.
Oh yeah,
like they're normally like, green, but they have like beige ones. Yeah, because I'm trying to keep it neutral because I do want to use some of it as backdrop stuff and I don't really want pops of green in there. And then I picked one of the floral arrangements that they had that's just kind of a mix of things, I think. So
oh my gosh, okay.
We'll see.
Love that.
How it goes. Keep you guys posted. But yeah, I'm currently obsessed with, I've been decorating all of our like side table situations. So just the random, like, you know, the entryway tables, all the little stands and like storage credenzas and whatnot. So that's kind of been my journey lately. So I'm really excited because I started to get everything in and I'm just so excited for that. So that is my
love that you've been doing a really good job with your home stuff.
I'm so excited. The only thing we're waiting on is the anthropology mirror. You guys, it's truly so fun to get, like, to move into a house so that you can get all your dream furniture. Because it's like, I've wanted this furniture for so long, but our other place was really small. Yeah. So I was like, I would have nowhere to put this. And the other place was not cute. But now we finally have a place to, like, actually put everything. So I have wanted this anthropology mirror since everyone started posting about it 5 years ago. And I'm so late to this game, but I truly do not care. I'm so obsessed with it.
They're stunning.
So I'm so excited to finally be a proud owner of it. So that should be coming in 2 to 4 weeks. Is what they said, but I hope it's sooner because it said it was in stock on the website. And then we're just waiting on our final couch for the living room. Remember the debacle between family room and living room? I think it's yes. Living room, like the front gathering room. I think your mom let us know that.
I know whatever we said, she said it was not that, so I can't remember.
I think it's the living room.
Okay.
So yeah, so just the mirror and that couch, and then everything should be done. And
I'm oh my god, so I love excited. That.
So then I'm just gonna sit in my pretty house and be happy until we leave for Europe, basically.
Obsessed. So I feel like I get overwhelmed with house stuff, and then I just never do anything about it, and I need to stop it's doing a that.
Lot. I just like have like been dreaming of these pieces for so long.
Yeah,
like,
you found some really good ones,
and they're gonna look good all together because.
Are you going to do, like, individual piece. A little home tour yeah, ever? Yeah,
that's why I'm, like,
cute.
All my furniture pieces in. That way I can do, like, a whole
tour I can't situation. Wait for that.
And, yeah, because I did a little sneak peek on my stories of my buccal accent chairs from Italian
Yeah, that was modern, super cute.
And I love
cute.
Them so much. Like, I love them. Like, Wrangler is not allowed on them. That's how much I love them. So, who knows? Not on those. Not on mommy's chairs. So.
They're so pretty.
So yeah, that's the current update. But okay. Into the episode, guys. 20 minutes later. Let's dive in.
Exciting updates though.
Yeah, things are coming along. So okay. So again, this week we wanted to do just an episode going over how we do a social media audit on our own profiles and how, like, the purpose of it, why it's helpful, and kind of help guide you guys through one, just because, you know, sometimes if things aren't working, or maybe they are working, you just want to take note and be like, okay, I need to add this to my strategy because, like, this is doing really well for me. I feel like that's really good to do an audit. So you're just
I feel like it's good to, like, refresh every once in a while, especially because I feel like for everyone right now, algorithms, and especially with Instagram, like, things are changing. Like, I just feel like things are changing. So I feel like this might be a good time to kind of put this stuff to the test and maybe think about it a little more. You definitely don't have to do this. If you're just, like, having fun creating your content that makes you happy, like, you do not have to do this. But if you want to get a little more strategic with it, I think this is a really good way to do that.
Yeah. Definitely. And I feel like it never hurts to review your social media presence and just honestly determine what is working and what isn't. I feel like when you are looking at this from a business standpoint, I feel like an audit is the smart thing to do, especially if you're wanting to monetize, or maybe you haven't monetized yet and that's one of your goals. This is a good way to do that. Or maybe if you have certain dream brands you want to work with, doing this type of analyzing could be really helpful and help just maybe connect some dots that you didn't see before that could help just with strategy and content, or if you're just maybe out of content ideas or you just want to try something new or refresh. Like, I feel like honestly this is so beneficial for so many different reasons, so I feel like definitely recommend doing this if you want to have that business aspect to it, I guess.
Yeah, so. And a lot of businesses pay agencies and, like, social media agencies to do this for them. So also if you're from that side of things, this is a good thing to do. But yeah, I feel like it helps you identify your strengths, find areas you can improve, kind of determine next steps for your content. So yeah, we'll just get into it. Also, I feel like it should help you understand, well, I guess we kind of already said this, but, like, figure out what's performing best on your page, who your audience is and what they want to see from you, and kind of like where to focus your attention. I feel like it's really easy to get lost in everything. So maybe thinking about this again, if you kind of forgot about it or if you've never really thought about it, I feel like it's a good
Or I feel like too, if you get bored easily with your content or you like to switch things up, doing this too can really help with that and just kind of help you like hone in on what's doing well so that you keep doing well. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good refresh to do every, you know, quarter, every couple, 3 months, just to, because I, like you said, Instagram is changing so much all the time that it's kind of hard to keep up with. And you're like, what are the trends these days? What are people liking? What's getting engagement? What's on my Explore feed? And just, it's basically taking all that information and organizing it so that you can better understand all of the analytics and the data. So,
yeah.
Because again, it's like kind of all just jumbled in Instagram in a bunch of different places. So if you can kind of lay it out to help you understand your page better, I feel like it's totally worth doing. Like, I feel like there's no downsides to doing this. It just helps you learn more about your own business. And then again, if you're trying to do this full time or you want to monetize, like this is a good step to take. So I feel like the next thing would just be kind of defining your goals and having these questions to ask yourself. So basically it's like, what am I trying to accomplish with my platform? You know, who is my audience? How do I want to be remembered? Or like when someone's searching, you know, in the search bar, like what do I want to come up under and what makes me different and what makes me stand out? How am I unique? Like, what am I offering? I feel like even just taking these questions and like literally writing them down, like pen paper situation, or typing it up in notes and truly brainstorming, writing just any thoughts that come to your head and really just being able to narrow it down, I feel like is so important. Because if you're just kind of throwing anything out there, you might not know what's sticking, what's not sticking, like what's, I don't know. There's just so many creators these days. And so it's, again, we don't think it's too oversaturated. Like, there is a place for everyone. You just have to know who you are and what, again, like what your, what's the word? Like, just, I guess, what you want to be known for, like what you're putting out there. So I feel like these are really good core questions to kind of start that process if you don't know where to start your audit.
Yeah. And honestly, maybe you don't know the answers to these questions, but writing them down and kind of like journaling about it, maybe you'll have a flow where it takes you to it leads you to the answers to these questions. Because yeah, I feel like
it's like journaling, it's important. And like connect dots. That
there's your journal there. Prompts. Those questions. I feel like those are good ones to kind of lead you somewhere. But yeah, I think it's really important to have like some sort of, you know, at least having like an overall mission statement for your content. And it can be as simple as, I want to inspire just others, or I want to inspire this group of people to do this. Like, just, it can be one sentence. It doesn't have to be super specific, but I think that'll help guide your content a lot, because like you just said, it is saturated, but if you can put your own spin on, it's not too saturated, but if you can put your own spin on your content, that's gonna make a huge difference. Because I feel like on my Explore page sometimes, and I've seen people talk about this, like, it's very repetitive with content. So don't,
like, the Explore feed is,
like, there's a lot of people doing the same exact type of content or trend or certain thing. So just not getting lost in that and always making sure you have like your specific thing tied to the trends or tied to a certain kind of content, that's going to make you stand out and actually be remembered.
Yeah. I think out of those four questions that we just went over, I feel like who is my audience is a really good question to work out, write out, and kind of narrow down. Because I feel like when you're making decisions for your page, for your business, like having that in the back of your mind can be so helpful. So when you're making brand selects, you know, who is my audience? Okay, I've created my audience. I know who, you know, my ideal audience member is. And then mm-hmm. you can make your selects based on that. Like, okay, I know this is my audience. I know this is what they like, so that I know if I pick things like this that are my style, my audience will respond well. And, you know, that'll either equal engagement on a post, it'll equal link clicks, it'll mm-hmm. equal sales. It's just like having those kind of things in the back of your head, knowing who your audience is. So it's like, if you're like, my dream audience is females ranging from 18 to 40, you know, like in the US, like obviously just a general audience. And like, okay, if, and then you put yourself in that audience. If I was in that audience, what would I want to see? Mm-hmm. And then you kind of like flip it and like do the reverse. And then that's how you can kind of strategize and make decisions when you're making selects. And like, because sometimes when I make selects, I just do it for myself because I'm like, you know, I don't really think other 30-year-old women are wearing this, but I love it, so I'm going to wear it. And then, but mm-hmm. I'm consciously making that decision. Like, I know what I'm doing. Whereas, yeah. like, other times, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to pick a bunch of basics that I really love because I know women my age would really love these basics, too. So yeah. I feel like as long as you're aware of it and when you're making decisions, you know what your end goal is. I feel like that can be really, really helpful. And I feel like audiences are huge to brands these days. So I feel like this is something that could be so beneficial for you to focus on when you're kind of developing this audit or strategy or whatever. Like, I think that's really good. That's kind of questions to ask yourself. And then the next thing is, I feel like we are believers in a good bio on Instagram. I feel like some people don't really care about it. They don't really put that much into it.
But I feel like some people like to go, and you know, maybe this does kind of say more about your content, because I feel like the girls who do kind of like the more mysterious, like cool girl, like they don't put anything but an email, like that is kind of reflective of their content. Like they're like, it does make sense. So I guess maybe it all, everything makes sense and ties together when it comes to your bio, but bios are important.
I feel like putting relevant information in your bio is important, because I feel like we have just heard from so many brand reps and PR reps that we've spoken to over the years, like they have always mentioned certain things in your bio. So I feel like that's why you'll always see us have certain things in our bio. For example, our mm-hmm. location. I feel like that's huge, especially for where we are located. Putting in your major city, and if you're not in a major city, like potentially putting in the nearest major city. And we both actually recently experienced, I was in the Hamptons for 48 hours, you guys. The Hamptons in my bio because I was in the area for a week, but not specifically the Hamptons. I think it was like 3 to 4 event invites in the Hamptons. And the only, I just think the only reason I got those was because that was in my bio, because nothing else changed. I've never gotten a Hamptons invite before. And then as soon as I switched the location, or like, oh, I'm here now, I got like half of the invites were DMs and then half were like emails. So it's like, I feel like brands are checking and they do look at these things, and they are helpful if you are wanting to be involved in the events in your area. And again, if you're not in a major city but you're near one, you can put that major city as your location, or like we do that. So we have LA and then we have SD, because we want brands to know that mm-hmm. like we'll go to LA, or we are near LA, but also we are in SD and we get invites in San Diego as well. So I personally think that's important. Some people don't have that in their bio, and that's okay, but I think it just helps brands know where you are and if they're going to invite you, because they're not going to deep dive. They're not going to look at your post and be like, what location is she in? Where is she tagging? Like, they're looking at your bio, and that's just kind of like our first thing, is like first impressions. Like, they're going to look at, the brand is going to look at your bio and get the information that they need there. And then same thing with a potential follower. So like, what is your mm-hmm. bio saying to a potential follower, or just like the world in general, you know, when they're looking at it? I feel like that's, you want to think about what, and obviously it's limited in space, so you have to be very specific, with yeah. the spaces that you are using.
I feel like a bio is kind of low-key like an art sometimes. I feel like someone can yeah. draw you in super quickly with their bio. Some people just like call out. It's interesting to me what certain people, like what people call out in their bios. Like sometimes mm-hmm. people have such a cool strategy with their bios. Like I've seen some girls say like they try to drive traffic to their stories, which I think is really interesting. Like they'll say like daily stories or come say hi in my stories. And I'm like, oh, that's like a cute little thing to like, that's also mm-hmm. strategic. But I don't
love
know.
When I see a good bio, I'm like,
I know,
oh,
it's
that's
so
really
interesting.
Good. Sometimes I'll screenshot them for inspo because sometimes I like to change mine yeah. up a little bit and just how it's formatted or how it looks. And if I am about to follow someone and they have a good bio, I feel like I get really inspired by that. And I feel like that sounds weird, but
yeah, it's happens. Actually kind of weird. Like I'm not joking. I've had the same bio, but like change the emojis and like maybe my email and like some of the things that I'm tagging. But I've literally had the same bio since 2018. Yeah. I'm not even joking.
Well, honestly, I feel like it becomes part of your brand.
I know. I think so,
people
too. It does become
part
of your
brand. And then it's
brand.
Sort of a mini resume. Yeah. A very mini elevator pitch resume on your Instagram.
Basically. Yes.
And it's telling a new follower what they should expect from you. So, but then you also have to communicate with the brands as well too. So it's like, you have to
do all these things, even though it looks so simple.
Yeah. Curate it to,
and it is like
boxes.
Yeah. Like I feel like honestly, when I made my bio, like I never really thought about these things, but it kind of just worked out. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not, maybe like don't put too much pressure on yourself, because like, I really didn't think that much about my bio, but I put the things that I thought were really important. Mm-hmm. And have added along the way, but
yeah, you kind of tweak it as you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is important to just be clear in what your content is, like what you do or who you mm-hmm. are or what's going to be reflected in your content. So either having some sort of intro or tagline or description or SEO keywords, whatever way you want to take it. There's no right or wrong, but whatever you feel like is the most you and whatever will communicate to an audience what you're doing. I feel like depending on how many spaces I have, and like sometimes I'll put what my next location is, and depending on where I'm going, sometimes that takes up a lot of space, so then I have to like remove
yeah.
other things to make it fit. But when I don't have upcoming travel, I have more space in my bio, and so then I'll kind of add a tagline. So I think I added something like neutral style, neutral fashion, beauty and lifestyle maybe, or something like that. I don't
okay
know.
I love that.
I just like added that in because I had some space to use and I don't have an upcoming location, so but that way my audience or like any new person would be like, okay, neutral, do I like neutrals? Yes. Okay, I'll follow her. You know, oh, I love bright colors, maybe this isn't great, but you know what I mean. It just kind of gives a quick glimpse into who I am basically and what you're gonna see in my content. So
yeah, I feel like it's good when people put things like fashion and beauty or home and hair, just little things like that. Mm-hmm. Also from a brand standpoint, because I feel like that's going to really solidify if they're considering you mm-hmm. for a collaboration. And if you have like beauty or like makeup or specifically hair in your bio, then it's going to make a lot of sense for a brand to work with you. Because sometimes if you have like majority, like if you have like 90% fashion and then like 10% maybe is beauty, but you're trying to get into it, but a brand can't necessarily see that right off the bat. If it's in your bio, they're going to be able to like recognize that more. I feel like back in
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Back like a few years ago, brands would like want to see examples of content, and I feel like I don't. I mean, maybe because we work with management, like we're not seeing brands be like, can you send me examples of this kind of content? But I used to have to send examples for specific kinds of content. So maybe if you have that in your bio, they're just gonna be like, oh, this is the type of content she does. Like, it makes sense. So I think putting stuff like that is really good, just like a little quick description. I feel like a lot of people do that, like fashion, home, lifestyle, hair, beauty, lifestyle, like that sort of thing.
I feel like another thing that I've seen people do that we don't do is if you have a bigger TikTok following, that in the bio. So if your audience is bigger on TikTok than Instagram, that could be helpful, because then that could let a brand know, like, hey, I actually also have this audience on TikTok. And then they could potentially want to work with you on TikTok or TikTok and Instagram. So I feel like that's also a really good option to throw in there, that when people have the bigger audiences there, they can tell the brand that. And you can also tell a new follower too, like maybe they're more on TikTok. So they're like, oh, I love this girl's Instagram. I'm going to find her on TikTok too, because I want to see her videos. So I feel like that's also a good option if that's something that works for you. And then personally, I always feel like an email is key. Like,
yeah, I think that's really important.
Brands have forever told us that putting your email in the bio is just so important, because on the desktop version of Instagram, I don't think there's the email button. So like on mobile, there's the email button that a brand could just like click email basically, but on desktop, I don't think that's an option unless they've recently changed that. So it comes down to just making it easy for the brand to find your email to contact you. Again, you want it, you want it to be as easy as possible, because you want the brand to contact you. So I feel like always that's like a non-negotiable in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I think an email should be there, but.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of all the little things, like little emojis. I feel like you can just tell so much from someone from a bio, like even from like the emoji combination they decided to do, or like whatever sort of like thing they're doing to break up their bio. Like, I just feel like there are little things that kind of build this picture of who you are.
And it's crazy, but it's like you can show your personality in a bio.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's like so much thought goes into this, but you'd honestly would never guess. And if you're not in the social media world, you'd probably have no idea that all of this goes into it. But I feel like a bio can really help you stand out to a brand, or even stand out to potential audience or community too. So I feel like that's definitely something worth reviewing and just auditing and updating every so often. And just making it relevant to your current content, so the audience knows what they're going to get, and so brands know what you work with, basically. So, yeah. Definitely love that.
Yeah, I feel like going along with your bio and, you know, what goes into it, but don't think too much about it. I think same thing goes for a profile photo. I feel like it can be so simple, but also it just says so much about who you are and what your content is. I love our profile photos now. I feel like we got our we got professional photos done for the podcast, but we did together and separate. And I just feel like our separate individual photos that are now our profile photos are so like, they're just who we are. Like, I feel like we're in our blazers, we're in our colors. I really like kind of having that photo, just because I feel like before I had this like professional photo, I never knew which one to use. And I don't usually like have my face. I don't know. I have a lot of sunglass photos. Like, I feel like I like having this like clear. You definitely don't need a professional photo at all. But I really like having sort of
like a professional photo from my
profile. I feel like people get really creative with it.
Yeah.
So you can like really show your creativity. Like some people get sketches done, like outside artists where they draw you and it's
yeah,
so cute.
Yeah, it's super cute.
Having different colors in it as well can kind of show who you are. So maybe you use your profile photo to describe that versus putting it in your bio. I feel like that's really good.
Yes.
And then I feel like I always have the hardest time changing it. I feel like I get so attached to it. And then I'm like, but this photo is my brand. I can't change this photo. So
we can't even change it with verification, I'm pretty sure. Like you have to like change, like, yeah, you can't even change it, which is like kind of crazy.
Okay, well, that takes away that dilemma.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna deal with that. So yeah, I mean, it's just another way to show who you are, your personality. And I feel like makeup girlies will have their close-up selfies with their stunning makeup done.
Yes.
You know, fashion girlies kind of have more of an outfit in the photo, you know. And I feel like you can, like, say you're a baker or you're just a food influencer, like, you know, holding a popular dish in your photo, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Just like so many different options and ways to show,
like, yes, like I feel like I can think of so many girls profile photos off the top of my head, and it does say so much about them. Like, are you a casual girly? Maybe you're like more of a chic, like you're dressing up, like you have like fur in your photo. Like I just feel like I know what I'm gonna get from your photo. And like you said, like with the colors, with just with everything. Even when it comes down to like the Pinterest girlies, like sometimes their profile photos are not like your face. It's just like a aesthetic photo. So I don't know. Yeah. Like we're not saying to like overthink these things, but
we're
just keeping them in mind.
Ideas,
yeah.
And inspiration and choices you could potentially make as options.
Because yeah.
There are so many options and ways to do these things, and just do what you feel is most you and what you feel will most describe or communicate who you are to maybe someone who doesn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of a good way to look at it, so that
yeah.
under a first impression, then they can get to know you through just your photos, some keywords, you know, all that. So
yeah, and like from the audit standpoint, like even these points, just making sure like, oh, does my profile photo align with like what I'm doing right now? And just getting curious and asking yourself these questions as we
yeah.
move along.
Yeah, perfect. And then the next thing too that we think is super important is the links or the URLs that you can add in there. I feel like, again, there's so many options. You could link your outfits, your website, your affiliate place, whether that's like ShopMy or LTK, other socials, or just like creating a link tree, like whatever works for you. And I think it's really cool now to have the option to have multiple links. Like I personally really like that. I do have a bone to pick with Instagram, because I do hate how they show the link in the bio. I wish it was just a bit.ly link or something short. Like for an example, when we put our trip link in the influence community, like link, as the main link,
yeah,
it has the whole freaking link spelled out.
Oh,
and I wish you could
you
can name the links under the links option, but you can't name the link that like is shown on your profile. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I like forgot
like,
about that because I've had
like
link
if you could
tree
name
forever.
Your links and be like all my links, like
that would
that
be
would
great
be so much
yes.
better than www.trevotrip.com/southoffrance/europe/
yeah.
and down, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not clean. And I'm like, everything else is clean. Why is this link situation so chaotic? So
yeah. And like we
Instagram,
name links and stories. So
yeah,
that is interesting. Yeah.
So exactly. So
maybe
why
it's a
can't
safety
we have that
thing.
On our bio?
So like, you know, you don't
what you're clicking,
I don't know.
But when
yeah.
you click it, it shows you, and then you click it, and then it's like
right,
Instagram
that's
is like,
true.
Are you sure
you're
you
leaving?
Go here?
Yeah,
like there are like Instagram is already putting in so many measures that you know where you're going when you're clicking a link. We get it. So we would just love an aesthetic, clean, potentially able to name your link in your
yeah.
link in bio option. but yeah, I think it's really cool to have the multiple options, because then it's like, I think I have like my all my links link that links to my website where I have everything basically linked there, and then any links I want to highlight. So if I'm doing a collaboration and they have a dedicated link, like for example my Macy's content, they like to link to the wish list, so then I can put my Macy's wish list link there, or our South of France trip link, I can pull that link out and put that individual there too. So then you can highlight your important links, because I feel like nowadays there are so many links. It's like, here's my Amazon, here's my LTK, here's my favorites, here's this brand deal I just did, here's, I don't know, like the list goes on. So it's just like being able to highlight specific links, I really like good job Instagram on that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I feel like the most common is having a link tree of some sort, whether it's Linktree or something else. But also, like, some girls just have a link to the platform that's, like, most important to them. Like, for example, YouTube. I feel like the girls that just have YouTube, I'm like, oh, like, this is something that this person prioritizes. Yeah. Like, she is dedicated. So I feel like that's an example of, like, a variation of just, you know, what's the most important traffic driver for you? Does your audience want you to link all your outfits? Like, are they trying to buy what you're buying? Are you trying to, you know, just having those questions in your head and keeping that in mind for whatever you put up. I just have a link tree. I should move it to my website. But right now, yes, I just have my link tree. I'm a
huge advocate
for
the website link, because I just feel like
I need to do that. With
Linktree, I've never had one, but I think it's pretty easy to set up.
Yeah,
but it's super basically easy. When you have a Linktree, you're giving Linktree your clicks, and then they're collecting that data and they're using that for themselves. Whereas if you already have your own website or blog situation, it's really pretty simple to create a separate page for links, and then that way when anyone clicks that link, it's giving your own website that link credit. So it's like, I feel like that's valuable in itself, is driving traffic to your own website instead of giving that traffic away to Linktree for free. They're getting all this traffic, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's another way to benefit your own platform, because then you can show link clicks on your actual website. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a huge advocate for that. I have Squarespace, and you can just create an unlinked page basically on your blog. And so like, if you go to my actual website, you wouldn't be able to find this page, but it's just like a page that exists. If you have a direct link, it will take you there basically. So yeah, definitely recommend doing that to keep that traffic kind of in your possession for your analytics basically. So that's just my two cents.
And then I guess like the last thing, verification, is that necessary for you? Some girls don't have it. It's kind of like you have to maneuver around some things if you are verified. For example, like you can't change your username, you can't change your name in general. You can't change your profile photo. It has to be
your legal name.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it has to be your legal name.
Some people never wanted to use their actual last name, and some people do it for security reasons. Like, people have their reasoning, but I think if you do have verification, you have to use your legal name, because you have to submit documents, right? Like, proving.
Yeah, you have to send in your ID. So, and then as far as like what that comes with, I've never used anything that it comes with, like truly. I've
tried support a couple times because I'm just so curious. I feel like I haven't had a ton of success. Like one time I was so random and I was like, my Reels reach is really low. And then they just give you like generic tips basically. But then also I've actually raised some questions, like, right now, for some reason, I cannot search my following. And I like to search my following so I can kind of clean it up, get rid of, you know, some keywords that will pull up accounts that, like, spam accounts or bot accounts that I don't want following me. So, but I can't search my audience right now. So that's been really frustrating.
Do they say anything?
I like reached out to them about it, and then they're like, oh, can you give us an example? So then you have to like screen record, and I'm like, okay. And then they like create a case, and then nothing ever came of it. So then I'm like, do I need to
have you tried on your computer them? Like, does it
no
okay
I no I haven't tried that, so I guess I could try that. So I mean, we do it for the safety and security of our accounts and peace of mind, in hopes that it would be helpful one day. So,
and apparently they are adding more to the, have you been seeing that? I told you about this. No. And like I kept seeing it again. Apparently they're adding other packages to like the verification Meta Suite. So see if that actually goes through, but it's kind of crazy. Like there's like really expensive monthly ones for businesses. They're really targeting it for businesses, because it's kind of
like, is it protection or is it like,
like, yeah, no, okay, so it's protection, but it's also like kind of the promise that they're going to be featuring your account more, so people really hate that. People really are against it. Yeah,
well,
and it's like $350 a month.
Oh, yeah, that just sounds like ads,
right? So
how
people,
do you know your profile's actually being featured?
I don't know.
And being
know.
Featured where?
Probably like the Explore page. Like, so people are really against it. I really kind of hope they steer away from that, because people, what I'm seeing is people saying like, this is going to take out all the authenticity of Instagram and what we're seeing on our feeds. And if an account is successful or not, like you can just pay for it. And I definitely agree with that. I feel like it would be nice if like we all had like the same playing field without someone paying more than someone else. But from my understanding, it looks like it's more geared toward like actual like businesses, but still. So yeah, we'll see what comes out of that. But yeah, kind of just asking yourself, is verification necessary for you? Are you going to feel more legit? Is it going to legitimize your profile to other people? I feel like there's less emphasis on verification than there was once, but yeah, that's just something you need to ask yourself.
I feel like people kind of got over the whole,
I know, they definitely did
it, and you either do it or you don't. It's a personal decision, and I don't think it really matters.
I like don't even notice if a creator is,
like, it doesn't matter. So, and then just to finish up this episode, the next part of the audit would just be looking at your analytics. I feel like we do talk about this a lot, and just being able to understand and identify your top performing social media posts, and just really diving in, maybe once a month or once a quarter, whatever you feel like is best for your business. But just looking at, you know, just the typical things, the impressions and the reach, the engagement, hashtags, keywords, SEO stuff, like ranking them, seeing like, oh, what's done well in the past 30 days? What's done well in the past 90 days? Okay, am I seeing a trend or anything like that? Like what type of content is performing well? And just being able to, I feel like, pull out those key analytics and understand what they mean, especially because I feel like Instagram keeps changing which one they prioritize. Like I feel like saves used to be really big, and I feel like they still are, but now I feel like sends.
Yeah, people are saying shares.
I mean,
yeah, shares are like,
so
the big one.
Just being able to know and understand and kind of read your content and be like, okay, like what's being saved the most, what's being shared the most, and being able to analyze that, I feel like, is a really good strategy to have. And just diving deeper than just looking at your, you know, quick professional dashboard really quick and just kind of like, you know, skimming over everything and what's going on, but actually like going in, pulling out like what's doing well, what should I keep doing more of, and just picking apart the small things. And we've definitely talked about this, where it's like, are you wearing a specific color? Are you in a specific location? Are you at home? Are you outdoors? I feel like we both definitely have locations that just do really well, and so being able to just notice that and create more content in those locations are obviously a good thing, especially if you have a brand deal coming up and, you know, maybe ads don't perform as well. Then like take that ad to your golden spot that you know is gonna
it's kind of like
the mark and do pretty well. or at least help, you know, it'll at least help boost the content, because it's like, you know, when brands, unfortunately, they make you do the paid partnership toggle, or they make you put sponsored, or they make you put ads somewhere really big, you know, they have all these crazy requests, and it's just like, you know, the FTC just says, like, you just have to, like, put ad or sponsored somewhere, like, it's not, it doesn't have to be crazy, so, but it's like, when brands want you to do that, then it's like, okay, it's like, you gotta, like, do the most to make sure it performs well. So if you analyze your content, I feel like you know, okay, this location does well, I'm gonna do my ad here, because hopefully this will help the overall engagement, basically, I feel like is a good tip.
Yeah, I feel like noticing those key patterns is so important. And yeah, seeing where the traffic and performance is coming from, I feel like learning if you're hitting mainly home or mainly explore, I feel like that's always really interesting, because I think if you're seeing that you're mainly, well, okay, if you're seeing a post hit the explore page, I think that's, personally, I think that's more valuable than hitting the homepage, because that means it was pushed out more. Like, it, you probably gained a lot more followers. Something about it got pushed out. And so I think that's really important to pay attention to. Like, followers or non-followers. Non-followers, I think, is always a little more... I mean, it's interesting because hopefully they convert, but... You know, that just means it's getting pushed out more. I definitely notice this happen when there are more shares. I definitely think shares is the most important thing, when people are like sharing it to their story, sending it to someone else because it's relatable, things like that, and just noticing if there's a pattern on that.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if this is just me, but posts, I feel like I have the most performance coming from home. And then Reels, I have the most performance coming from explore / non-followers, basically. And I think that's why they say that Reels are what helps with growth, because that's what's reaching your non-followers. Whereas, like, posts are still important, I feel, because you still need to, like, cultivate your current audience and still connect with them. So that's a good way to do that with the post. But Reels, again, is, in terms of growth, if that's what you're looking for, that's how you're going to grow these days on Instagram. So it's definitely very interesting why posts don't get pushed to explore as much versus Reels. Obviously, they're prioritizing video content because we know why. But it is just interesting, the strategy behind that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So yeah, just asking yourself the questions is, like, what kind of content is getting pushed out? And then I feel like if it is a certain type of content, maybe asking yourself, okay, like, do I want to put out more of this? Because clearly it's resonating with other people and it might surprise you. Like, I feel like sometimes it'll surprise you what kind of content. Maybe, like, you're creating fashion content, but, like, a funny post goes viral, or, like, a relatable reel goes viral, and people, you realize that people, like, really resonate with how you're speaking, what you're saying, and maybe that's not something you would have considered before, but I think that's always interesting, seeing what hits that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, it's always random videos, so that's always interesting. But yeah, I think it's important, just, does a certain niche perform better for you, you know, beauty versus fashion or home versus outfits. I think sometimes it's like you want to sprinkle in everything, and, you know, sometimes something is going to perform a little better than something else. Like, maybe if you're introducing home into your content, it's not going to perform as well at the beginning, but I feel like it's still important to kind of still sprinkle that in to kind of get your audience introduced to it, get them used to it, and then also potentially draw in a new audience for that topic as well. So don't be too discouraged if you are sprinkling something in and it's not hitting at first. I would say keep sprinkling it in and keep doing it, just to give it a fair shot. Like, I would give it a couple months, honestly.
Yeah.
because you kind of have to train your audience when you start to post new things. So I feel like that's always good. And then just asking yourself, are your top posts aligned with your voice or your niche? Like when you're looking in your analytics, when you're looking in your impressions, your reach, your saves, and your sends, is that your, like, is that what you're interested in sharing? Is that what's doing well? Because then it's like, if not, maybe reevaluate what's going on, what the situation is, what content is doing well. Maybe you want to pivot a little bit. And then it also helps to also identify your lowest performing social posts too. And like, maybe they're just one-offs. And I feel like that just kind of happens. So It's whatever. But if you're seeing a pattern, I think that's when it becomes important. Like maybe a specific location that you post in just never does well. Then it's like, okay, maybe time to try something new, or maybe give that one a break and try again, you know, next month or whatever, and see if you can get something else that will resonate. And just, I don't know, I just think it's important to be aware of These things. And maybe you don't change anything immediately, you just are aware, and you're like, you know, if it's been kind of slow for you, then you're like, okay, I know I don't want to post here because usually it doesn't do as well. Like I really need to post in this location because I know my audience really likes this aesthetic. So It's just good information to have on hand when you are making decisions like that, I feel like, and just being able to recognize the patterns, even if you don't act on them immediately.
Yeah.
I
feel like it's good. Important to pay attention to, because also I feel like some things, oh my gosh, my garage is opening and closing right now. Sorry if you hear a humming in the back. But I feel like some things you will outgrow almost in your content. Like something that was really pushing your account forward last year is not always going to be performing well anymore. I've had quite a few things that I've realized just by doing this little, doesn't have to be like a crazy audit, by the way, like just like some mental notes, mental things to like take note of and pay attention to. But I was also going somewhere with that, but the garage really threw me off. But that's the only thing I just remembered. So
yeah. And I think too, you can use your analytics to know what days are the best, what times are the best.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's really important information. I think I looked at mine recently, and sometimes I think like my days are literally all the same. Like I'm not even joking. I think it's literally like the graph is but that's because we post every day, so that would make sense, you know what I mean? For someone who maybe doesn't post every day, then it might show like, okay, if you post Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like those are gonna, days are gonna show stronger. But also times, I think the times your audience is active is also very important, because I feel like it's good to strategically post a little before your audience is active, so that by the time they go on, your post is there.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's kind of how I think of it. And then, yeah, just noticing the patterns too with specific type of content, like we've been saying, I feel like that's going to be really key for your audit and knowing what to keep, what to cut, what to adjust, what to change, what to just observe and take notes on in the meantime. So,
yeah.
I feel like that's all important. And then also demographics, as we all know, I feel like brands still care about that.
Yeah, I feel like an example is like, okay, for demographics in this industry, brands tend to want a higher female following, just because obviously they are literally just marketing to the females. So taking note,
to the girlies.
Taking note of, okay, maybe my male audience is higher than my females. Okay, why? Like, am I posting a certain kind of content or like reel that's getting pushed more to men? How do I avoid that, or how can I pivot that? And I've seen a lot of girls do that. Like they kind of came out of college with a really high male following, and then they really had to pivot their content to cater more toward the girlies. So you definitely can do it, but just taking a little note on, okay, why might this be? Because clearly my content's getting pushed out to this gender. Like same with location and everything like that too.
Yeah, and I feel like it's good too to not constantly, but like Well, I guess it's up to you on your frequency and how much you want to do this, but cleansing your audience, whether you want to do it on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or whatever, or if you only do it when you kind of see numbers change in the direction you don't really want them to change, like maybe your female percentage goes down by 1%, then you'll kind of be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go through my audience and kind of do some cleaning and remove, you know, spam accounts, bot accounts. It's like those accounts that don't have profile pictures or they have really random usernames with a bunch of weird, like, they're not just names.
They're like numbers and weird periods.
Or if, like, profile pictures that aren't really relevant and then you click the account and it's like they have zero posts, they're following, like, 5,000 accounts. Like, you might as well just get rid of those because those are just inactive or bot accounts, and that'll just in the end like help you. And then Instagram has those features now where you have flags for reviews, so you can see who's trying to follow you that might be spam and you can get rid of those. And then there's the like other flagged ones in your account. Unfortunately, mine, like, I have that and then it shows up and then I click delete all and then nothing happens. So I don't know if there's a glitch or it kind of stopped
working. Okay, yeah, I've seen that and that's happened to me too. I think it's just overall glitching.
I would love to cleanse this. But if I do have time, I will kind of scroll and, like, you know, if they have anything that looks spammy, basically, in their profile picture or their name, I usually will just remove that because it's not going to help in the long run. So I do think cleansing your audience every so often can be beneficial, especially if you are growing a lot and you want to keep your demographics in a certain range. Staying on top of that regularly will help, so then you don't have to do like a large sit down and spend like hours at one time going through it. If you just kind of spend a little bit here and there, then you can kind of maintain. Yeah. So I think overall, with all this information, I think it's just important, you know, create your strategy and then take action based on that. So I think for me personally, I'm a note taker or like a writer. So like I like to physically write everything down. And then once I kind of have organized my thoughts, then I will type it up and kind of make a pretty plan, basically. But just brainstorming all that content, making sure everything is aligned within your notes, and then you can kind of categorize, and like once you do your brainstorming kind of chicken scratch notes, then come up with an actual strategy and then implement that and being more intentional with your content and your areas of focus. And then that way you can have a reminder too, because I feel like sometimes I will do this, but then I won't write it down and then I literally just forget.
Yeah, same.
And I need to like actually like do an audit and like make a pretty presentation for myself so that I can actually like review it and look at it and remember the strategies that I want to implement or the video types of videos that I want to try or implement. Because sometimes I feel like I have really good ideas and then I completely forget about them until I do another audit. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I totally forgot I wanted to do this kind of content, or I wanted to try this video or whatever. So I think however you learn best, whether that's, you know, writing it down or typing it or drawing or whatever, finding what works best for you is important.
Yeah, I feel like it would be a cute idea to have like a little wine night with yourself or a little like self-care night. Do a dedicated deep dive self-audit on your profile. Come up with some ideas. Get the creative juices flowing. I feel like I always like write. I think of ideas and then I put them in my notes. And then this is why my notes is like 20,000 because I just lose the note and then constantly I start a new one.
Like dumping in your
notes. Like I have so many like ideas and links and like inspo in my notes and I lose it, and I don't know what works best for me yet, but I think I really need to like sit down and write it out. And I also think that that's simultaneously like manifesting and you're just like putting that energy out there, so I feel like that could be a really good idea. So yeah, I feel like questions you can ask yourself while you're doing this is, what kind of content makes me most excited? What kind of content am I most excited to make? Because all this in mind, like, yes, analytics are so important and that's kind of like the driver of how you're doing. But also that doesn't matter if you're not excited to make that content, because if you're not excited to make that certain kind of content, you're going to burn out 100%.
Yeah.
So making sure you have that in mind. Also doing this across all platforms, and then asking yourself, am I neglecting a certain platform / am I just putting too much time into a certain platform and I'm not seeing anything from it? That was me like 3 years ago, 4 years ago with YouTube. I could not do it, literally. Like,
honestly, like, same, but I still post even though.
No, I think it's like you, it's like cute. Like, I feel like you but like
I,
doing but it.
I like it, yeah. So
I'm yeah, I could not do it. Oh my God.
Be on YouTube.
So I like X'd it's that okay. out. I had to be real with myself. I was like, I'm pouring too much into this. I'm burning out. Like, I cannot do this. Or TikTok came along and I was like, yeah, no, I'm out. So I had to be real with myself, and it's okay. You don't have to do everything, you know?
Yeah.
Avoid burnout. Like, I think that's like a really important thing. And like seeing where you're seeing ROI, where you should put more focus. Are you resonating / connecting with your audience? And are you seeing that? Are you not feeling that? I feel like you can always kind of know, like, okay, I feel disconnected in this area. I feel connected in this area. I'm going to put more. You guys know what we're saying. So those are just some example questions. I think that would be really good to kind of jot more down about and think more about.
Yeah. I think, overall, doing an audit, it kind of sounds like a lot of work and not fun, but at the end of the day, if you are looking at it as a business, I think it is really important to do, because normal businesses do this very regularly. It's a very strategic thing to do. And if you want to grow and you want to, you know, continue to build your business, I think it's so helpful if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling lost, if you need motivation or inspiration. I feel like it's a good thing to do. It's never going to hurt you. And I like the idea, like you said, like have a self-care night, have a wine night, like make it fun and do it as often as you need, whether that's like every month if you want to look into things, if you're like an analytical kind of numbers person, or if you're not really into it but you see it could be helpful, maybe doing it every quarter, so once every 3 months, just to see what's going on. I feel like it's never going to hurt you, and it can really just give you insight into something that maybe you're missing, or also just connect some dots for you and, you know, give you that inspo or just that insight into your account and just help you grow. So I feel like this is definitely something I personally want to implement more of, and I need to set reminders for myself. So like, you know, doing it at the first of the month or whatever, just to see like, or the change of the seasons, just to see what's going on or doing well. And I think too, another idea that I just thought of is we always struggle with the change of the season. So it's like, maybe when the season is changing, go to your content 1 year ago and maybe analyze what did well.
Yeah.
And maybe kind of get a jump start on that, because you knew it did well last year. So it kind of gives you a foot to start on this year, just to kind of see what things are. And obviously trends change and things change, but it can give you just insights into what your audience liked last year. So I feel like you can just gain so much information about you, your business, your profile, your content, like everything, by just doing a quick audit. Like, it's it could be a game changer for your business.
Yeah, I think it'll like I think it's a something that can really get you excited again if you're feeling stuck, or re-inspire you, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So 10 out of 10 recommend doing this. And I feel like you don't have to do it all at once. You can take your time, you know, and just do what you can, or look at the analytics that you're interested in and apply it to your content. And I feel like that could be super, super helpful. So that's pretty much it that we have for this episode. Hopefully this inspires someone. I feel like it inspired myself. So I'm like,
I know. I love that.
But yeah, honestly, if this helps one person, that's truly our goal. And we just like to kind of share like the behind the scenes business. I feel like you guys ask us a lot, like, how do you run the business? What's the BTS? Like, what are things that you do that, you know, maybe we don't see every day? And I feel like this is the kind of stuff that we talk about. So this is like a really good, insightful episode. So yeah, hope you guys liked it. And we always love a longer episode. And I think that's pretty much it. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I feel like that was a lot. So thanks for listening, you guys. We appreciate you.
As always, if you made it to the end, we love you so much. And we appreciate your support and our listeners. It means the world. And it just inspires us to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
But we love you guys, and we hope you have the most amazing week this week, and we will chat in our next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.